So, facts of the matter. It's time to be realistic for our whole health. So welcome to this episode where I will be talking about fat as a matter of fact. just my silly jokes. So I will be breaking down the facts on fat, and we will be talking about realistic goals for us as a unique individual. So fat is not a nasty word, nor should it be demonized anymore. In my practice, I don't condone virtual signaling from the body positivity movement. Instead, I adopt a flexible body neutrality perspective. And I've dedicated an entire episode to discussing the significant differences between body positivity and its potential harm, especially towards women and girls, which is more detrimental than diet culture. You might feel that the body positivity movement has empowered you to accept your body, and you're thinking, hang on a minute, Jem, what are you talking about? It's a great thing. But it's crucial to realise that loving our bodies entails nurturing and looking after them holistically, as they are more than just outer appearances or containers. The body positivity movement dictates what actions to take, and it criticises those altering their bodies specifically when it comes to fat loss. This can become risky as it mirrors diet culture. It's just from a different angle. The focus remains on appearance. It's seeped also in beauty culture, which I talk about a lot in other episodes, and it's ultimately perpetuating a self-neglect and discouraging personal reflection. So employing similar strategies as diet culture, it targets women and young girls who challenge its intentions, and it subjects them to shame, criticism and intimidation. So numerous uninformed influencers are embracing this ideology to justify their life decisions, the bottom line. Their main goal is to attract a large following to promote their products and merchandise and take advantage of women and girls. Many of these influencers have become very ill, and some have even passed away while the movement is still encouraging others to follow their lead. And it is seeped in toxic diet culture and outward appearances. So in the 90s, I grew up amid the prevalent diet culture, facing its pressures along with many others. Nowadays, I opt to use the term fat to highlight our emphasis on addressing fat directly. So rather than debate excuses or causes, my aim is to help my clients attain whole health, covering mental, physical and emotional health, and crucially educating them about the facts of fat. So our vessel is not just about appearance. While looks matter, let's not bullshit ourselves, they are subjective, and everyone has their own perception of beauty and what looks good. It's not for others to dictate how we feel inside and vice versa. This is where it gets so dangerous. We don't have to adore every aspect of ourselves or our lives all the time. But accepting our current state and finding ways to progress is the key to personal growth for our personal whole health. So assuming complete responsibility for our actions and the consequences on others is crucial, as they not only influence us, but also have repercussions on our children, partners and society as a whole. it is essential to refrain from attributing our emotions to others, as we are solely accountable for our feelings, and taking care of our whole health is our responsibility as adults. Obviously, children and teens, it's a very different matter, but as adults, we are responsible for our whole health, ultimately. So it's time to get realistic. It's time to take back our power once and for all, and find out the facts about fat so that we can be honest with ourselves and our goals and discern what is the right direction for us to go in as a person, as for ourselves. And it doesn't matter what anyone else is telling you to do, which is obviously what we were hooked into with diet culture. So remember, wanting to protect and nourish your whole health is not selling out to diet culture, is it? It's not fat phobic, it's not misogynistic, and it's not fat shaming, all these bollocks words that have been made up. And if the body positive movement wants to tell us this, they can fuck off, basically, because I've had enough, and so have many other people. So because I've got your back with your whole health, because it's not about me. Your journey is about you. And if you choose to carry on following the body positivity movement and that's working for you, that's absolutely fine. But at the end of the day, there is another way that you can help yourself. So this is how textbook toxic relationships work, to be honest, and I will not be any part of that. So we can move away from our pain without suppressing it. And it's okay to want to work on our whole health. I love fat. Fat is such an important part of our physiology. And this is what we will be learning today. Because a lot of us just hear the word fat and we're like, ooh, we can't say that. Well, yeah, we can say that. We can talk about fat. We can talk about our bodies. Like, let's not shy away anymore. So the female body fat percentage, then, this is what we're going to talk about today. So I'm going to start talking about body fat. Yep, it's not a naughty word. To begin, consider examining your body fat percentage, and we can do this by using visual guides that offer great comparisons and approach it with an open mind, eager to learn. So I will include in the show notes a helpful visual aid that can assist you in determining your approximate position on the guide. Use this word guide and provide a realistic perspective for you to consider. So knowing your body fat percentage is crucial, especially if you want to lose fat, as it provides a more precise assessment of your overall health in relation to excess weight compared to just relying on your scale weight, which is a lot. Obviously, the scale is something that, yeah, I talk about that in other podcasts as well, because it is something that's been part of a lot of our lives for so long. So the reason for this is because weight loss is the reduction of your overall weight, which includes not just fat loss, but also water weight and muscle loss, something we were never taught, were we, with diet culture. So whereas fat loss is the reduction of body fat specifically, losing fat won't just enhance our body composition, but it's a more health-focused outcome than weight loss because it improves your metabolic health, mood and cognition, inflammation and immune function, and it reduces the risk of many chronic diseases from diabetes to heart disease. So you can already start to see that it is more about you as an individual and not about the number on the scale. So what is fat? Let's really get down to the nitty-gritty here. So body fat or adipose tissue is an essential part of every human body. Its primary role is to store and provide energy for metabolic processes, for everything from your heart beating to your arms lifting. However, fat does much more than just store energy. It plays an incredibly important role in regulating your body size, metabolism, and overall health. In fact, fat is considered an endocrine organ because it secretes hormones and other substances that are crucial for bodily functions. To understand how fat works, we need to first understand the different types of fat and their roles. So there are several types of fat in the body. Yep. Brown fat, beige fat, subcutaneous fat, and visceral fat. And each type of fat has a distinct function, has distinct functions and health implications. So I'm going to go through all the fats, the different fats now. Who would know that we had all these different fats? So brown fat. Brown fat, the lesser known kind of fat, is packed with mitochondria. Rather than store energy, it actually burns energy to produce heat and keep us warm through a process called thermogenesis. So the brown fat acts to break down blood sugar and fat molecules to create heat, making it metabolically active and beneficial for overall energy balance. So, for example, babies have high amounts of brown fat to keep them warm before they develop the ability to shiver to produce their heat. And as we grow older, the brown fat all but disappears, apart from tiny pockets in places like the back of the neck, but in very small quantities. So research is ongoing to find ways to activate brown fat in adults, such as through cold exposure, which you might have heard about or even be doing, to help combat obesity and metabolic diseases like type 2 diabetes. I have put some info in the show notes regarding this subject if you want to know more. So, beige fat. Boring, like beige fat. Okay, like brown fat, beige fat can produce energy to create heat in the body. And this type of fat is actually derived from white fat. It's the most common and plentiful type of fat in the body. And this is why beige fat can be found in small quantities all over the body. Researchers are studying how to turn ordinary white fat cells which store calories into beige fat cells that actually burn calories to maintain body temperature. So, white fat. White fat is the most common and plentiful type of fat in the body. It is composed of two main types, visceral fat and subcutaneous fat. You might have heard about these. It is located in the chest, abdomen, and upper legs and serves as the primary storage for excess calories. So white fat does more than provide insulation against the cold. Rather like a rechargeable battery, it also stores fats derived from food and continually releases small amounts of the fats to be converted into energy. So too much of this kind of stored fat constitutes as obesity. So visceral fat. Visceral fat is located around internal organs such as the liver, pancreas, and intestines. It is not visible externally, making it harder to detect. So in theory, you could appear to be a healthy weight externally. However, you could be storing fat viscerally around your organs, which is harmful to your health. And high amounts of visceral fat are associated with increased risk of insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and liver problems. So visceral fat also secretes pro-inflammatory substances, contributing to chronic inflammation and a high risk of metabolic syndrome. So if you have a lifestyle with a significant intake of processed foods, poor sleep, lack of exercise, and maybe a regular intake of alcohol, you are likely to store more visceral fat around your midsection. Although visceral fat is not visible because it is stored internally, a bare belly can be an outward sign of this kind of fat. And this is why we need to be educated on the different types of fat and the impact on our whole health. And obviously this is just a rough, we're just chatting about it roughly today. So subcutaneous fat is found just under the skin and is the type of fat most people want to decrease when they start a new whole health journey. It is the more visible form of fat. You can see it when you look in the mirror, such as our love handles or our muffin tops. And no, we are not fat shaming. We are being realistic and honest and loving to ourselves so we can go in the direction we need to go for our personal whole health. So this kind of fat serves as an energy store that can be tapped into during periods of calorie deficits. It also provides cushioning to protect muscles and bones and also help insulate the body from the cold. So while excessive subcutaneous fat can be undesirable for some people, it is less harmful than visceral fat. And moderate amounts of subcutaneous fat are not typically associated with serious health risks. But again, that's being honest and honest with ourselves and educated, we can make the best decisions for our whole health. So what is body fat percentage? Body fat percentage is a measure of how much fat you have relative to your lean body mass. So many people will think that lean body mass refers only to muscle tissue, but it includes everything in the body that is not fat. So this will include your organs, your skin, your bone, fluid levels, your food weight and stored glycogen. So let's go a little deeper into the layers of fat. So we'll look at the body fat percentages now. And obviously this is just a guide. Everything's a guide. We've just got to kind of learn how to listen to our own bodies again about our whole health and kind of try and ignore everything that we've been taught about fat and like that whole lose fat. Well, what does that actually mean to you? So what 12% body fat looks like. So for most women, 12% is generally the lowest level of body fat you would seek to aim for, unless you were competing as a competitive bodybuilder. So this level of leanness would result in an extremely athletic physique with great muscle definition and visible abs, although this may vary depending on the thickness of your muscle belly. So, however, this level of body fat would be incredibly difficult for most people to maintain long term without a very restrictive diet. So dieting and remaining at very low levels of body fat can result in low energy availability, which can result in the body diverting energy away from the reproductive process So you might notice changes to your cycle length and the duration of your periods, or they may stop altogether. Umenorrhea. Okay, so it may, that's what it's called when your periods stop. So it may also make it more difficult to become pregnant if you are trying to conceive. It's important for females to carry a little more fat, not only for a generally more pleasing aesthetic, subjectively obviously, but also to maintain optimal health. But obviously, the body positivity movement will cling and cherry pick to things like this and think, no, we need fat, more fat, we need way more fat. But they take it completely, cherry pick and just go with it. And that's not what we want to do either. We've got to take a realistic whole view of what's going on. So if you are concerned about your menstrual cycle or fertility, staying this lean may not be a great idea for long. It, when it comes to sub 10% body fat for women, this is very difficult indeed to attain for most, and 8 to 10% is considered essential for life. So those who can manage it will likely have hugely compromised health, immunity and fertility, and would not want to stay anywhere near this level of body fat for long, if at all, by choice. So, okay, let's see. So what about 15% body fat? What does this look like on average? So for most women, this is a great level of body fat to maintain. It is achievable and maintainable for most with good habits, such as maintaining an active lifestyle and eating a nutrient dense, mostly unprocessed diet, but you should still have room for flexibility, such as eating out in moderation. You will be lean and feminine looking, yet athletic, and will often see the outline of your abdominal structure, subjected though. So you will also enjoy good shape and definition across the whole body while maintaining optimal health, lower inflammation, and a reduced risk of most health issues or hormonal concerns. So to achieve and maintain this in the real world, you will likely be strength training 3 to 4 times a week. You'd be focusing on compound exercises like squat variations, deadlifts, pull-up variations like pull-ups that target multiple muscle groups. You will be doing regular cardiovascular exercise or hitting 10,000 steps per day consistently, which not only helps burn calories, but maintain a level of physical fitness. And obviously we'll talk about calories as well in other episodes, because that's another good subject to talk about. So with your diet, you will be primarily focusing on whole unprocessed foods. Your plate will be filled with lean proteins like fish, chicken or beef, healthy fats like avocado, nuts and olive oil, and complex carbohydrates like quinoa, sweet potatoes and green vegetables. So you'll also get a good quality sleep, which helps regulate appetite, spiking hormones, as well as managing stress levels, which can lead to poor food and lifestyle choices, which we all know. Honestly, we do have to be honest with ourselves, don't we? It's hard. So what 20% body fat looks like? So generally, 20% body fat is considered to be the average healthy body fat for most women. So this is where it starts getting nice and realistic for us, no matter what build we are, no matter, you know, anything else. This is just the average healthy body fat for most women. At this level, you may have less muscle definition, but you will have a well-proportioned figure, and your natural curves will very much be a part of your body to love and embrace. And this body fat percentage is highly sustainable and associated with numerous health benefits compared with women who are at 30% body fat or higher. So achieving and maintaining 20% body fat still involves a consistent routine of exercise and balanced nutrition. You will still engage in full body strength training sessions 2 to 3 times per week and incorporate moderate intensity cardio such as jogging or cycling during the week. So obviously these are just examples. You will be hitting 8,000 to 10,000 steps per day from various activities. This might include yoga, Pilates, to maintain good flexibility and improve your stress management. Your diet will be balanced with plenty of whole foods, high protein and healthy fats and carbs, but there will be more balance for indulgences like meals out. So the benefits of maintaining 20% body fat compared to 30% are significant. Health issues shouldn't be a concern to most women here. You'll have a reduced risk of chronic diseases like heart disease and type 2 diabetes, and improved physical performance with increased strength and endurance. Additionally, having lower body fat levels is associated with reduced systemic inflammation, better mental health, and higher self-esteem. We know that. We know that, and that's why we need to know the facts about our body. So what 25% body fat looks like? Okay, here we go. So I'm going to add here that I would say I am around this at the moment, and I find that many people who subscribe to a stagnant body positive ideology would often tell me that I do not need to lose weight. So they will completely ignore how I feel and give unsolicited advice, ultimately to make themselves feel better. This has harmed my health over the years, as instead of listening to my body when I needed to and concentrating on my whole health, I have felt shame and guilt, and this is where the danger of concentrating on someone else's outward appearance and ultimately squashing their voice has the same detrimental effects as diet culture, and it keeps us trapped because we then start with the inner voice that's not really what our body is telling us. So we lose that connection with how we were already feeling and thinking, right, I need to do this for me. And then obviously the outside people are influencing us. So 25%, and obviously everyone will feel completely different about that, but it has had an effect on me. So 25% body fat is on the higher side of what is considered to be the average woman, and according to most medical standards. But obviously we'll take all that with a pinch of salt, because I am very open to leeway here. But I'm 5'3", small build, I'm 43 years old. So you can see that people will look at me and tell me I'm fine. But although this level of body fat isn't bad per se, it may be a trigger to re-examine our activity levels and educate yourself on proper nutrition. And I know that obviously in the school holidays, I have been eating a lot of processed foods. I've been busy. I've been thinking about everyone but myself. And I know what I need to do. So I'm listening. I can feel it. I can listen to my body and go with what I need to do. So, but to get from 25% body fat to 20% body fat, you might want to think about maybe setting a step goal, daily step goal, starting a structured strength training program, and doing regular cardio workouts. So whether that's running spin classes, for me, I do spin classes, or group training, and this is what I am doing for myself right now as I do this podcast in the last few weeks, for my whole health, my mental, physical and spiritual health. So I'm starting to look at my diet too. and the calorie deficit that I need to reduce the fat. I've started by reducing the amount of processed foods on my plate, cutting out snacking, and building my meals around a good source of protein with plenty of vegetables and smaller portions of complex carbohydrates and healthy fats. And this is helping me feel fuller for longer, and I already feel so much better. And I've got reduced food cravings now, just a couple of weeks in. I make sure I'm drinking 2 to 3 litres of water per day too. I have purchased a Stanley in the last year. I got it from John Lewis. It's absolutely fantastic. It's the best thing. I'd say it was one of the best things I bought all year. I thought it was going to be a gimmick and a load of rubbish and was banging on about. And I thought, right, okay, I'll buy it. And I swear to God, I've used it every single day. And I always have like ice cold water right near me now, which has helped so much because I didn't realise how dehydrated I was getting. So let's get realistic and honest. The more fat you carry, the higher your risk for serious disease further down the line. We do not need to, we need to stop bullshitting ourselves and demonizing fat. Cardiovascular disease, stroke, heart attack, dementia, and many other serious conditions all become more likely with increased levels of body fat. That is a fact. So inflammation will probably be high here. Perimenopausal symptoms will likely be exaggerated. Hormonal imbalances could begin to occur, including signs of estrogen dominance. So you might notice, like, you know, you might be struggling if you're around about my age. And there might be the stuff that we can look at there. So this may look like excess fat storage around the hips and legs. It's now my stomach. Excessively painful period pains and PMS symptoms, exaggerated, unexplained mood swings and low energy. And we might start pushing this onto the perimenopausal symptoms, but it could be to do with the fact that we need to look at the big picture of what we're doing with our lifestyle. So I'm 43 now and I want to do what I can for my whole health, and I'm being loving to me for me. So let's see what 30% body fat looks like. So 30% body fat is towards the end of the scale where females are quite overweight and may be suffering from joint issues, hormonal disturbances, and maybe a very real risk of diabetes and other chronic diseases. And that's before even considering the mental effects of being overweight. So low self-confidence, anxiety, and destructive eating patterns, your clothes may not fit well, and fat will probably be hanging over tighter clothes and underwear. So you'll be buying bigger sizes to feel comfortable, which is what you need to do in that moment. So reducing your body fat from 30% to 25% or below can significantly improve many aspects of your general health and well-being, as well as lowering the risk of chronic diseases. And the same rules apply. Start doing things that shift your energy balance. You can do this by either reducing your intake of calories or increasing the amount of activity and exercise you do. But with this 30% body fat, I would say that getting some support put in place would benefit. But the best is a combination of both. Your diet is a good place to start. Cleaning out the processed foods for whole single ingredient foods. Increasing your protein intake, which fills you up more, and filling up on vegetables, which will reduce hunger and cravings. And this is not subduing to the diet culture, is it? Heck, it is looking after you, your personal whole health, period. And if you're not sure, because of all the misinformation out there, it is, you know, it is good to get somebody that knows, you know, how to support you into the direction that you want to go. So you could start a regular exercise program, even if that's just walking every day and doubling your current daily step count, which will begin to increase your energy expenditure and tipping the scale towards fat loss. So take the stairs instead of the lift. There's just so many tiny little things that you can do. But looking at starting a strength training program in a gym yourself or with a personal trainer, this style of training has the effect of preserving and building muscle mass, which increases your metabolic rate and changes your body composition. So you can do it in a nice, gentle way. You can also do additional cardio-based activities, which increase your energy expenditure, and they will speed up the fat loss process. But it is, again, recommended that you have somebody who is qualified to support you with accountability, for one, and just ongoing support. So this, what 35% body fat and above looks like. So a measure of 35% body fat or more is not considered healthy at all for men or women. This kind of body composition makes you a prime candidate for diabetes and certainly an elevated risk of heart disease further down the line, no matter what the body positivity movement claims and tries to deter the, you know, change the subject, cherry pick. This is what's going on. So people at this level of body fat also tend to suffer from a laundry list of ailments caused by the inflammation, poor gut health, joint issues due to the simple fact that they're carrying too much weight day to day. So this is the stage where it is important to take immediate action to start exercising and begin a calorie controlled diet to control your weight and regain your health and your body shape. At this level of body fat, many women are also likely to experience hormonal issues such as disruptions to the menstrual cycle, an increased risk of infertility and complications during pregnancy and birth. So women with high levels of body fat are also likely to experience severe symptoms from conditions such as PCOS and endometriosis. I myself have PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome. I was diagnosed when I was 15, and for the record, I was skinny. Well, the word skinny, yes, skinny. There's nothing wrong with saying skinny if we're not saying it with an intention to hurt someone. So, but I had a high percentage of body fat, and that was significant in my diagnosis. Reason for diagnosis. So obviously we're all different, and there's so many different things going on for everybody, but that was the reason for me. I had a high percentage of body fat even though I was tiny. So small steps can make a big difference, quite literally, in reducing your body fat levels and seeing the many health benefits this can bring. So even without formal exercise, simply increasing how active you are day to day boosts what's called non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And there's a little, it's called NEAT, N-E-A-T. So this is the amount of energy you expend, calories. And I'm doing quotation marks because we're going to talk about calories in future episodes. So doing everyday activities like housework, shopping, playing with the children and walking around, walking your dog or whatever. These activities, like walking, can be the biggest driver of energy expenditure throughout your day. So maybe buying a pedometer or setting a daily step target is a great way to track your process, stay motivated and accountable. I also do have a community. It's a private community. It's not connected to Facebook, so there's no distractions. And it's basically everyone's connected to me somehow. And so you know that it's a safe space. It's got recipes. It's got accountability. You can chat to other members if you want, and it's really good. So I'm going to talk about that in other episodes. But accountability and support is such an important factor when we are on a whole health journey. So looking at the quality and quantity of food you eat can help too. Finding ways to cut out processed foods from your diet is a good start. Obviously, it's very hard to distinguish with all the misinformation what is okay to eat and what isn't. You know, I try and refrain from good and bad, and we just have, you know, we're just looking at maybe whole foods, and there's so much help that you can get there. And maybe swapping out sugary snacks and drinks for lower calorie natural alternatives, like having fruit and vegetables is another good stop to take. But obviously, if you struggle with appetite or overeating, even something like improving your sleep quality can help, because sleep deprivation is shown to increase hunger hormones. And the less you sleep, the more your drive to consume food increases, making the weight loss process even more of a struggle. And I know it's easier said than done, especially when we've got up to this 30% or more, 35% or more body fat. So decreased sleep is directly linked to increased body fat percentage and central body fat distribution, so visceral body fat on your midsection, in multiple population studies. So try to get to set regular bedtimes, get off the screens 1 to 2 hours before bed. You know, we can do that. We kid ourselves. It's damn hard, but we can do it. We can do little things like this. Get 7 to 9 hours good quality sleep per night. Yeah, that's easier said than done too. And also, listen to you. You know how much you need. Some of us don't need that much. So again, thinking about or starting to think about losing fat is not about anyone else. It is an individual choice. And if you want to start on your journey to whole health and you want to lose fat, knowing the facts is essential to make your informed decisions about your whole health, but ultimately it is your choice. The body positivity movement often distorts facts to confuse people, so I'm going to just add a few more nuggets to support you around the things that they often use to deflect away from us trying to start our whole health journey and keep us stuck. Just so that you've got a bigger picture of something that crops up a lot in this community, or it is something they use to deflect. So what is the difference between BMI versus body fat? So the dreaded BMI. It's crucial to understand the difference between BMI and body fat percentage when evaluating what is optimally healthy. So BMI is a straightforward calculation based on weight and height, but it does not take into account your body composition, meaning it cannot differentiate between muscle and fat. So as a result, someone with a high level of muscle mass might be classified as overweight or even obese according to their BMI, despite having a low body fat percentage and being in excellent health. So my children's dad, when he was younger, was in this category, and we used to laugh because he definitely was not fat, and a doctor used to tell him he was obese. Like, seriously, honestly, this is how bad it was. But this is often the go-to when the body positivity movement wants to smoke screen us and confuse people. Because obviously, on the other hand, a person with normal BMI, normal, and I'm doing quotes here, might still have a higher body fat percentage, a condition sometimes referred to as being skinny fat. And I've been there many times, especially when you're hooked in with diet culture. I have been here, and it poses significant health risks, and this is often used to throw us all off from the realistic facts surrounding a balanced view of our whole health when it comes to fat. It's not just about the look, but maintaining higher levels of muscle mass relative to body fat offers significant health benefits. That's the bottom line, that extend beyond appearance. So muscle mass increases your basal metabolic rate, BMR, allowing you to consume more calories without gaining weight. So additionally, having more muscle is associated with a reduced risk of chronic diseases, including type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and high blood pressure, just to mention a few. So both the BMI and body fat percentage have limitations, particularly in measuring visceral fat, the fat stored around your internal organs. So while some visceral fat is necessary to protect your organs from trauma, having too much can lead to serious health issues, including insulin resistance, heart disease, liver problems, and chronic inflammation. If more than 10% of your total body fat is visceral, your risk of developing conditions like type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, and heart disease, and colorectal cancer increases significantly. However, the encouraging news is that visceral fat tends to be the first to reduce when you follow a whole foods diet and engage in regular exercise. So making it particularly responsive to lifestyle changes aimed at improving your overall health. So it's so important that we have all the facts and take these influencers with a massive pinch of salt, because more often than not, they have not got your whole health at heart. And I know it's hard to hear, but just be aware. I hope that this episode has helped you find some peace with your journey to whole health, and it's quietened some of the noise so that you can start to think about, number one, the most important person in all of this. So everything will be in the show notes for more information on the visuals around body fat percentage if you want to take a look. Shoot me any questions, because I'm here for you. I am a certified health, wellness and nutrition coach, a yoga teacher and breath coach with a background in cosmetology. And additionally, I am on my way to becoming a personal trainer. I operate an integrative health clinic in Manchester, Cheshire, with additional clinics in Sale, Hale and Altrincham. I am eager to hear from you and assist you on your path to complete well-being. So until next time, take care. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find more information about what has been discussed in the show notes and on my website, complexhealthcoach.uk. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a comment or review, and I will see you in the next.